Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in to another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa. He's Scott Marsh. And Scott, we've got another fully packed hour here coming up.
We do. We always have the fastest hour in radio.
Len Dumas, COO of the NorCal PGA, is going to tell us about the Hall of Fame class and actually let us know who the names are, which is going to be exciting. Greg Almazian, the executive director of the Bobby Jackson Foundation, is going to talk about his tournament and the Jackson Foundation as well. And then, of course, Mike Woods, our friend, the director of golf at Hagen Oaks Golf Complex, is going to talk to us about playing a bucket list golf course. How exciting is that? And I'm going to let him tell you what the course was.
I can't wait to talk about this. I've been excited all week for it.
You know, I think it works out this way because nobody wants to hear us talk, but we have no time left to small talk. We're going to do a couple of messages here, and then we'll be right back with Len Dumas and get this Golf to Go Radio Hour kicked off here on Sactown Sports 1140.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome into the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa. A special guest is with us. Len Dumas is the executive director and COO of the Northern California PGA and a regular contributor to this show when we want to know about golf in Northern California. Len certainly has the handle on most of it. Len, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. Good morning. And first things first, I'd like to just shout out, you know, to all our current veterans, those that are completed service and those are active service, and to those that have given so much for us to get us here, you know, as we celebrated Memorial Day this week. And so thank you to our service members all throughout. And everything is good as we head into some summer.
You've been very busy as you get into the golf season. I say that with quotes because I suppose the golf season in Northern California really is year round. But for the rest of the world, once the Masters has been played and we start getting into the majors, it's golf season. And when you speak of majors, what an incredible story we just came across in the PGA Championship with a club professional named Michael Block. And Len, first of all, what's your reaction to what happened? And then kind of tell us what's the difference between a club professional as Michael is and the tour professionals that are out there on television every week.
You know, to have Michael in one of the final pairings for the event, Frank, and the way the day played out, he's paired with Rory McIlroy. He gets a hole in one. He has an incredible save on the 18th. The whole thing was a script, but knowing Michael, he has the ability to do that. So that's really important for us as the PGA of America. You know, we have two properties. We're often confused with the tour, as you know, and that's not us. We are the PGA of America. So our main events are the PGA Championship and, of course, the Ryder Cup. So when a club professional such as Michael gets to that final round, it's great for the game, as was proven by the interviews and the accolades and just what a good person he is in handling all of that. Just tremendous. So, you know, to your point, a touring professional is exactly that. That's what they do. They move from city to city during the year and they play professionally. A club professional plays, I'll say, intermittently, right? Because they're working full time. In Michael's case, he's a full-time instructor, and some of our others, for instance, Brad Marek qualified 2 years ago at Kiowa, you know, made the cut, and Brad's in our section, is a teaching professional. And for all those, Stuart Smith and such club, they're the head golf professional, director of golf, and they're just working full-time, squeezing in those moments. So when they can keep their game to that level, that's just tremendous. And going up against those that are playing for it, on a weekly basis, full time. So that's the big difference. But just so exciting. You know, we talked about Arnold Palmer being every man's golfer, right? And to some extent, it's that. It's a club professional getting out there, playing to incredible level, and making the game better for everybody.
You know, you and I and Scott Marsh had a chance to play at Green Valley this past weekend, and thank them for their hospitality. What a great course. But as we were sitting around after, and we were kind of talking about, you know, the kind of pressure that a touring professional goes through. Well, in this regard, not much different than Michael Block went through. But as you pointed out, the difference is that the touring professional finishes up on Sunday, you know, maybe has Monday off, maybe has to do a Monday qualifier, and then has to go through that whole process all over again, week after week after week. That's where the real pressure comes from.
It does, Frank. And for the 20 spots that the PGA of America has in the championship for the club professionals, you know, a moment on how that works. It starts off with the local PGA professional championship. We hosted it in 2012 at Bayonet Black Horse, and we hosted it again in 2018 in Bayonet Black Horse. It's a four-day event. It starts with 312 PGA professionals from around the country. After the second round, there is a cut to the low 90 in ties. After the third round, there's a cut to the low 70 in ties. And then after the fourth round, the low 20 professionals move on to the PGA Championship. So to get there, it's a tour event before the event. And so very, very grueling. And the great thing with Michael's finish, tied for 15th, he's exempt from next year, for next year rather. So he's in the event that does not take up one of those 20 spots. So there are still 20 more PGA member spots available for next season at Valhalla, which is just tremendous. But again, four rounds and two cuts to get there, to then go two rounds and a cut to get to play the weekend at the PGA Championship. Holy mackerel.
Well, you know, without a doubt, it was an incredible story, and certainly a feel-good story. And there weren't too many people that didn't know Michael Block's name after that. So congratulations to him.
Congratulations to him is right, Frank. And, you know, he's just a great contributor to our game, a great contributor to the Southern California section PGA. And, we root for good people.
You know, when you think about the 1,100 professionals in just the Northern California section, which you're running, you've got the full gamut. You've got the rookies that are just getting into the game, into the program, and you've got the people that have been around a while, and you've got an event coming up which is honoring some of those veterans that have really made a difference in golf in Northern California. The NCPGA Hall of Fame event is coming up, and the last time we talked about it, but you weren't able to disclose who the honorees were. So, without further ado, let's talk about who made the class this year.
Another great class, Frank, and we have Olin Dutra, and Mr. Dutra is a club professional, but also quite the tour player. You know, going back to the 1930s, winning the U.S. Open in 1934 and the 1932 PGA Championship, and working in the Central Valley as a club professional. So contributing as a player, contributing as a mentor, contributing as a club professional to bring associates along during their journey. Just tremendous. And then two others that have been in the section, members for 50 years each, Jerry Thorman and Paul Wilcox. And it's a life of service. Frank, they were both great players, both played on tour for a time, but were involved in service and bringing along the Northern California PGA, going through the chairs, being section president, running the association for a few years. Certainly both of them influenced myself and many, many others. And even Paul being district director, taking representing the section to a national level for a number of years. And they still contribute. They still volunteer for events that we have, whether it be a junior event, whether it be a section event, because as you know, we move around our section to spread out the travel, if you will, and also the great facilities we have. But they still come along. They still participate, volunteer with us, and Jerry's still playing, which is just tremendous. So we're grateful for them, for the influence and positive influence that they've had for so many years over so many people. And then Johnny Miller, you know, San Francisco native. What is there to say about Johnny? A great, great playing career. back to the early 70s when he was the man to beat and breaking records. And then his broadcast career, which is probably just as exciting because he became the no-nonsense, no-punches-withheld during his broadcasting. And so we're bringing the four in, Olin Dutra, PGA members Jerry Thorman, Paul Wilcox, and Johnny Miller into the 2023 Hall of Fame class.
You know, obviously, Johnny Miller had an incredible career. He won both the U.S. Open and the 1976 Open Championship, and I think had for a while there the lowest third round in a major ever when he shot 63, came from six strokes behind. But many people probably had no idea that Johnny Miller was a professional golfer. I mean, he's known, so many years for being the analyst that he was on golf, but and maybe in some ways might be, more well known for his time in television. But he was an incredible player. And as you say, once he got on television, he made the same kind of mark as he did on the golf course.
Right. And I'll even take it a step further, Frank. His influence at one of our finest facilities, right, Silverado. Right. Johnny has been involved in the redesigns ultimately and intimately involved in the redesigns at Silverado, particularly on the North Course, which is the host of the Fortet event. So it doesn't end. It really doesn't end. And grateful to be part of it when we reach out to folks such as Jerry Thorman, such as Paul Wilcox, such as Johnny Miller for some help. Would you come to an event? They're right there for us. So, it just goes on, and they talk about it's their way of giving back. It's their being grateful for the career that they've had through the great game of golf. And we're wonderful to go along for the ride.
You mentioned Olin Dutra. As I was looking at his background, I was really surprised to learn that he played in only 97 tour events only. I mean, that's a whole lot, but what was fascinating is he finished in the top 10 50 times. So more than half the tournaments that he was in, he finished in the top 10 50 times. That's a remarkable statistic right there.
It is, Frank. It's just absolutely incredible. And as we look at how competitive, the tour level is, it's just unrelenting. It's unrelenting and unforgiving. And so when you think about that, that's a really important point, to finish with all of those 50 times that's more than 50% of the events that he was in. Yeah. And that includes major championships, some of which he won, being on Ryder Cup teams too, right? Yeah. So an incredible career, and was right here at Franklin Canyon Golf Course. So it's that mix of great players, that mix of at the same time being behind the counter to help the rest of us get through our round of golf that day. Just tremendous. But I think it speaks to the type of people that we're talking about.
When we started this conversation today, you mentioned the veterans and, Memorial Day just this past week and thanking them. There are so many veterans in Northern California that thank you and the Northern California PGA Foundation for PGA Hope, which is a program that helps rehabilitate both mentally and physically veterans that may have had some issues that many of us weren't even aware of. And the stories are so dramatic. But you've got the Langley coming up, which is named after Jim Langley, the former head professional at Cypress Point for 36 years. And that event benefits PGA Hope and all the veterans that have been able to be involved in that program. You've got a pretty incredible lineup coming this year.
We're so fortunate, Frank, as people may not know, our goal with the Langley is, yes, it's our major fundraiser for our PGA Hope, Helping Our Patriots Everywhere program. And each year we honor a local honoree and a tour player. So this year we have Steve Young of the 49ers, of course, and Sir Nick Faldo. And I'll tell you what, they are excited to be part of it. We're excited to have them there at the fundraising dinner and then have them in some cases stay and be able to play golf with everyone the following day. So August 14 and 15 this year back at the Inn at Spanish Bay in Pebble Beach. honoring our veterans, which is the goal, honoring our veterans. And this year, through that vehicle, right, we have Steve Young and Sir Nick Faldo. So we always look for a great, great way to get to know them more intimately, get to know them on a little more of a personal basis. But they're always willing to give back. So we're just great, just outstanding event. This is our 15th year, too. Wow.
That is remarkable. Having started with Arnold Palmer, you know, the question was, how would you top it? Well, I don't know that you ever top Arnold Palmer, but you sure have had some events that are right there with him being there.
Yeah, and I think it's continuing their legacy, Frank, you know, continuing the legacy of Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Jim Langley, even more. And in this case, maybe most importantly, and Mr. Langley himself, known as, you know, the ultimate gentleman as a golf professional at Cypress Point for all the years he was there, willing to share his name with us, willing to share his family with us. And if we've ever said no to Mr. Langley, which we did once, to my knowledge, that I was involved in, he was so humble, as you know, Frank, he would ask us almost every year, do you mind if we take my name off the event? And we said, yes, we do. And no, we're not going to do it. And to my knowledge, that's the only no's that we've ever said to Mr. Langley. But again, a reflection of who he is and the family.
You use the word reflection. I used to call Jim the human mirror. There was no way to compliment him. I would say, Jim, you look great today. And he'd say, well, Frank, of course, why wouldn't I? I'm here with you. And that's who he was, you know?
Right.
He was always for others, as is the Langley, as is, you know, when you think about it, the world of golf. I mean, what is it, $3 billion now that have been donated to charity through golf over the years? And, you know, and all of the events that we've talked about today have a charitable aspect as well. So my hat's off to you and those in the golf world.
Well, this is about all of us, Frank, yourself included, you know, and the opportunities you give us to speak. You know, speak on your show time and time again, and everybody in the Northern California section, all of the other 40 sections and the veterans, we, you know, I refer to it sometimes as a thank you contest. They say thank you to us. So we say, no. We're only here because of you. We are only here because of you, and we'll continue to do so. So thank you for the incredible sacrifices that they've made, and totally biased. That I truly feel we can only do this through the game of golf, because it's interaction while we're playing. It's fun. It's heartbreaking. It's elating, all at the same time. We just love it.
I think we went through all of those emotions this past weekend.
Right. And all in one hole, too. It's not like we spread it out. Yeah.
Len Dumas, the executive director of the Northern California PGA. Thanks so much. As always, Len, appreciate you spending some time with us, and we'll look for you back soon.
Thanks, Frank. Good to, I cherish our friendship, and best of health, and we'll see you very soon.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. Scott Marsh is with me, and our friend Greg Galmazian is also with us. Greg is the executive director of the Bobby Jackson Foundation. And Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be with you always.
You know, it's so much fun to have you on the show, because you rub elbows with, you know, with some celebrities all the time. And Scott thinks he does, but I don't think he can kind of hold a candle to the guys you hang out with.
Well, I'm hanging out with you and Scott. That's the top of my list.
Greg Alode is the celebrity, Frank. You know that.
That's probably true.
Oh, my.
The Bobby Jackson Foundation, what a wonderful thing. I mean, it was, as I remember the story, and correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but it was started in memory of Bobby's mother. And basically, you provide programs and services that focus on education, youth development, and family support here in local communities. And what a great job you all do. Congratulations. And did I get the story right?
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
Obviously, Bobby's mother, you know, went through some cancer, and as we said, that was the impetus for this. But as I mentioned earlier, you're not just supporting people with life-threatening diseases. You you try to do as much as you can in the community. Tell us a little bit about what the Bobby Jackson Foundation really does, kind of on a day-to-day basis.
Well, the golf tournament is our largest event that we do. It raises the most money. We try to do two or three other things during the holidays, which helps out too. But, you know, our focus isn't on one particular organization that we support. I get calls and, you know, I'm out in the community quite a bit with different areas. So I get calls and people have needs for different things. Like this year we did something totally different. We took about 30 kids Christmas shopping at Dick's Sporting Goods store.
Oh, wow.
We gave each kid about $250 to spend in the store, which was awesome. We had Bobby there, of course, and then some a couple other players from the Stockton team. And they shopped around with them. And, you know, it's just awesome to see these kids who don't have enough to give them an opportunity to go shopping with a celebrity and get some really cool stuff. So that's one of the events that was very successful. We did the same type of thing for Thanksgiving. We purchased a bunch of turkeys. We do that every year. And City of Refuge is one of our people that we support. Do you know anything about those? Have you heard about the City of Refuge, Frank?
I've heard the name, but you tell me what they do.
Well, they started out, it's a ministry in Oak Park, and they take, help people that are sex trafficked. They get them off the street and they give them some housing, food, clothes, and opportunities for jobs. So they find jobs for them. And these guys have done an amazing job. We've been supporting them for a long, long time. And it's really cool to see these organizations helping these gals get out of that lifestyle and provide them with an opportunity to have a career somewhere. So that's a really big organization that we help out too.
You know, when you see respect coming back into people's lives from a program like that, when you see the smiles on the faces of the kids that get to go shopping, that's got to make it all worthwhile and make you wonder, you know, why you can't do more sometimes. It's remarkable what giving really does. I mean, it the old adage, it's better to give than to receive. It really is true when you're around programs like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I get teary-eyed just watching and seeing how they respond to getting stuff, but it's actually more pleasurable for us and kind of selfish to see, you know, the joy in their life and what we're doing to help them out.
So the Bobby Jackson golf tournament, as you mentioned, it's what year is this now? It's almost a heritage thing here.
It's 13.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Tell us the date and where it is.
We are having it a little earlier this year, July 3rd, mm-hmm. at Serrano Country Club. We moved it up there. Our title sponsors, which is Hammer Nails, they're men's grooming shops. John Choi has always been a supporter of Bobby. And also Wow Wow Lemonade. It's a franchise started in Maui. These guys are a big supporter. Capital Periodontal, Kevin Chin, Highlands Tech, Rayleigh's, Walmart. I mean, we have normally the same people every year that want to support us. And it gets bigger and better, especially with the addition of Hammer Nails and Kevin Chin with Wow Wow Lemonade and Capital Perio. But we start off 9:30 registration, 11 o'clock tee off time. And then we have, as you know, there's tons of food and beverage on the course. And then after we come in for a little awards dinner, we have a bunch of auction items. And there are various celebrities that come out. Our two top celebrities this year, again, are Frank LaRosa and Scott Marshall. And if the audience wants an autograph, I'm sure I could arrange to have a meet and greet.
You know, I thought you were trying to sell tickets, Greg.
We are not trying to sell tickets. If you want to buy a foursome, I'd love to have you buy a foursome as a corporate. It's like $1,500. It was really, really cheap. There's so many other tournaments that pay, you know, $3,000 for just an individual player. But we kept it in a reasonable range. It's all local. Our benefactor this year, we're going to give some dough to the UC Davis Children's Cancer Unit. My son is a radiology manager at that hospital, and he said, "Hey, how about Davis? Can you do anything?" So we're going to give some dough to the Children's Cancer Unit. Leah Tata Floyd School is a public school, but through the Midtown Church with Pastor Bob Ballion, he also was the chaplain for the Kings. They have a serious need in that neighborhood. They don't get funded for summer school. So we're going to give some money to the church, which is giving money to them, so every kid could go free to summer school.
Right.
So, I mean, education is involved in what we do. Charity, SAC PD, ex-chief of police, Daniel Hahn is on our board. He finds these groups and these kids. He found the kids for a Dick's Sporting Goods store that needed it from Oak Park area and Meadowview. So he's still really involved in the community big time, and he shares that with me. Here's a need. Can we fill it? So it's kind of cool.
That's fabulous. You know, and Scott is probably a little concerned because he thought he was going to come to your tournament and play golf. Now he's got to be in an autograph booth.
Yeah, we're gonna just put a sign on his back. He could just walk around and hit the ball, and they'll come up to him and get an autograph.
As long as I'm not in the dunk tank this year, I'll be fine with it, Greg.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get you off the hook there. But you know, some of the Keaton Murray's playing this year.
Nice.
He's a golfer. You know, a lot of the guys aren't golfers, but he is a golfer. He wants to play. I know Matt Barnes always wants to play and is going to play. So there's various guys, you know, Brad Miller usually comes back. Tony Lopez, the boxer. It's a mixed up group of people. Isaac Sanchez, who won the TV show Big Break with Jerry Rice. He's a good friend, and we always invite him back. It's just a fun day. You've been out there several times. I mean, it's just a really fun time to relax and enjoy.
We're looking forward to it, and you know, and thank you for your gracious invitation to come and be a part of it. You've put us together in a sterling group with Scott, and I get to play with the GM and the G-man. He is the GM, though. Yeah. The G-man and Jason Ross. So that's a scary foursome to contend with, I'm thinking.
That's a great foursome. I think you guys could win this thing if you just hit the ball straight.
So now we got rules. Scott, you know, you've been there before. Tell our listeners what your reaction is to the Bobby Jackson tournament and to the foundation.
Well, Greg did a great job. It's so much fun. I mean, it's Bobby Jackson and Kings players and other people around there. And that is a real treat for people just to come out and play in it. But beyond that, Greg, I have to give you a lot of credit because you do such a great job running the event. And a couple of things I like about the tournament is you always started early. So an 11 o'clock tee time special on July 3rd, when the weather could be pretty warm, you're getting done at a reasonable hour. So you don't really feel the afternoon heat that you do in some of these other tournaments that start at 1, sometimes 2 o'clock. So I think that's really brilliant on your part. The food everywhere is extraordinary. I mean, just the stuff you do on each hole makes it so much fun to be out there. And so it's a day of entertainment. But, you know, for me personally, you know, I had a chance to do the pregame show with Bobby for a number of years before he became on the coaching staff. And so I just know how committed Bobby is to this and just the heart of service that he has. As well known as Bobby is, his care towards this community is probably something that people can't really appreciate, but being around him, I certainly can. Just anytime you see him talking to somebody, he is so engaged in their life and truly wanting to do something. So I really have a connection to this foundation because I know the good work that you guys are doing, but I also know how personally Bobby takes it. It's just not his name on top of a foundation raising some money. This is something that Bobby truly takes to heart and really, really cares about tremendously.
Absolutely. Bobby's got a great heart. He's a good kid. He really is. He's almost like my third son. We've been together for so long, and he's just fun to work with. He loves golf. He loves sports, and he more than anything loves this community.
That's true. And let's not forget, he is a very good golfer. It's very fun to watch him play. He's probably around a 2 handicap. He hits it over 300 yards. And even though the tournament's about charity, Bobby still wants to post a good score out there.
Oh, he's adamant about that. I remember, Bobby, you can't win your own tournament. And he goes, why not? Anyway, so he doesn't win his own tournament. There's a lot of other better golfers, but he enjoys it for sure.
And I know it frustrates Doug Christie that he can't hit the ball as far as Bobby. But, you know, that at least this year, they both have excuses for not being able to practice too much. Huh?
I love Doug Christie. He's such a fun guy, good guy. And if you've seen him putt, that is a unique putting stance.
Indeed.
Where he puts it between in the middle of his legs and puts it like a shot put or something, like a bowling ball. And he's accurate. And it's fun to watch.
He used to practice that in the studio during commercials.
Yes, we had our putting green up here in the studio, thanks to Doug. And what's so fun with these professional athletes is that the way they concentrate and take their golf game, you can see how they were professional basketball players on the other end, because there's no loss of attention to detail or just performance or everything else they do to try and be a very good golfer. And obviously, they're naturally gifted athletes to begin with. But
Greg, you're looking for sponsors. You have a few spots left open for players. How do people help out, and how do they get a hold of you, and how do they register?
Well, my phone number is 916-548-9555. If you're interested in playing as a single or as a corporation, or you want to be a sponsor by purchasing a sign for a hole, this hole sponsored by, that's just call me. I'll make all the arrangements for you. We'll make the sign for the hole for you. So it's as easy as that. If you just want to send in a check, you can send that to P.O. Box 221-222, Sacramento, California, 95822. And all checks are made out to the Bobby Jackson Foundation. We've had issues with our online deposits and stuff. So we just write a check or call me. We'll make some other arrangements for you.
Or actually, they probably can go through you at the station, Scott, if that's easier, probably.
We will figure it out. Absolutely. Contact us here, and I will get certainly everybody in contact with Greg to make this all happen. And, Greg, I also have to say before we go, of course, it was Bobby's 50th birthday recently. A tremendous birthday celebration was held for him. A lot of fun, a lot of great roasting was done at Camden. And that was just a great night. And now, is there any truth to the rumor that Bobby's going to try out for the senior tour?
I would say yes and no. Finding the time is always an issue with Bobby.
True.
With coaching and working with the players. But he would love that. I've been trying to get him on the Tahoe tournament.
Yeah.
But he's never around to do that. He's always been in Vegas or something. So that would be a good start. He'd get some definite recognition there.
No doubt.
If you have any contacts there, let me know.
We'll do. And the thing, you know, with having the July 3rd tournament date, it's before Summer League. So that's another reason for Bobby. He could be at his own event, which is extremely important to him.
Absolutely. That has come up before. We did a poker tournament where they called him away to do something that he couldn't even be at his own poker tournament. No. So, that happens sometimes. We hope it doesn't happen in the future as far as, because he always wants to be there. He likes mixing it up and having fun with everybody and thanking everybody for the support. So we're excited about this year. We did it about a month earlier than we normally do. That's when they had the opening, and my sponsor, Hammer Nails, John Choi, he's a member there, and he goes, I want to bring it up here. He's been telling me that every year. So this year we said, okay, it'll be the weekend of July 4th. That's when they had it open, and We'll see how that goes.
July 3rd at Serrano Country Club. And I know they have all new bunkers up there because they've been working on them for a while. So I'm looking forward to it. Greg, I look forward to talking to you as always, and look forward to this esteemed group that you put us with coming and representing at your golf tournament.
Well, I appreciate you guys very much. Not only are we, radio talkers with you, but you guys are good friends, and I appreciate you.
Thanks. Likewise, Greg. Thank you.
Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. Back for more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa. Scott Marsh is beside me as always. And Mike Woods, the director of golf at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex, is with us. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys.
Nice to have you on the show. You know, we all have bucket lists about our golf experiences. And, there are bucket lists and then there are bucket lists. And yours is spelled with all with caps. And I was in a meeting the other day that I think you were supposed to be at. And I heard, Mike's not here today. Mike is playing a golf course on the other side of the country. And I think I'll maybe just kind of let you tell us how that actually happened and what the name of that golf course was, Mike.
Well, yeah, and I'm still floating here. So, it was just a day like any other day. And I was in my office and an email came through from one of our vendors. And it kind of went something like this. Hey, Mike, we've got a special invitation for you. You probably should sit down before you open it. And, with no context of what they were even asking, I opened that email to learn that I had an invitation to travel back east and play golf at Augusta National. And it kind of took my breath away, as you might imagine. And so I responded, yes, I am in. And then I looked at my calendar and went, oh, goodness, there's a lot going on those 3 days. And but somehow I just made it work, Frank.
And I'm very proud that you did. And if you hadn't, I know that I would have been your first call to kind of fill in for you. That's a remarkable experience. It goes back and forth whether it's the number one or two golf course in the world, and certainly our Cypress Point on the California coast, is in that discussion as well. And I know we've both had a chance to play that course. So I'm not going to ask you to compare and contrast or anything like that. I just want to know, what were you thinking when you're standing on the first tee at Augusta National?
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, I was really nervous and I kind of laughed out loud because it's not a tournament. I mean, I play lots of tournament golf. I was just out there playing golf. But the moment kind of, it gets you a little bit. And, it's like, boy, I'm really here. And then I proceeded to heel a driver into that big bunker on the right side of the fairway there. And then I kind of laughed a little bit more. And then after that, I got my acting gear and actually played pretty well.
I would have expected that you would. We see the course on television, and Scott obviously was there for last year's Masters and had a chance to walk the course. What are your impressions of the facility as a golf course and just the overall ambience?
Well, yeah, you as a golf fan like we all are, you're wondering if it can live up to the hype, right? And the reality is it exceeded the hype. I mean, playing that golf course was so unbelievably fantastic. All those shots, especially on the back nine, that we all remember, a Nick Faldo or a Jack Nicklaus or a Tiger Woods hitting that shot. And then to be there and get to hit the shot, I'm not sure there's another golf course in the world that could even remotely compare. And so it was outstanding. And playing the golf course, there's these kind of revelations that happen that kind of caught me. So like I mentioned on one, I hit it in the bunker there. That bunker is so unbelievably deep and the lip is so high. So from that bunker to the green, I had 132 yards. And I got in that bunker and I can't even see the green or the pin. The lip is so high. And I was right in the middle of the bunker and I could only hit about a 70-yard shot out because it's like I'm hitting over, a one-story building right in front of me. And I found that in a couple of the fairway bunkers, they are so penal. And it just reminds you of how good those top tour players are, the shots that they hit. It's not your average fairway bunker at Augusta National. It is designed to be really, really penal.
And beautiful sand, too, as we see it on television.
Yeah, it's white and it's perfect. And as you might imagine, the course conditioning out there is second to none. It was just perfect. The fairways, every blade of grass was this beautiful ryegrass, and the ball just sat on it so beautifully, and it was firm, and the ball was racing down the fairway. And we were told they double cut and rolled that day. Greens were rolling about 12. And man, anytime you had a putt downhill, you know, the clubhouse sits up high and the first green sits up high, and then Race Creek is down low. If you were putting down the hill and towards Race Creek, it just would just keep going. I mean, it just kept going and going and going and going. And so some of that local knowledge and that understanding of how that works is really important to putt well out there.
Did you have caddies or were you kind of on your own?
Yeah. So the way they did this, this event, this thank you event for some of the vendors of the Masters tournament is there was a number of players out there. It was kind of a big event. And what they did is they put a caddy on each green. So there's a separate caddy on all 18 greens. And the caddy was there to fix your ball mark, rake the bunker, and read all the putts for you.
Oh.
So that was really, really helpful because, boy, there's a lot of deception on those greens. And, you know, the caddy would say to me, like on 18, okay, Mike, this 5-footer, it's dead straight. And I would look at him and say, boy, it looks like it's going to fade to the right. And his response to me was, yeah, that's what Jordan Spieth said when he missed it. It's dead straight, Mike. And then I go, yes, sir, it's dead straight. And then I would putt it dead straight. That's kind of how it worked.
You know, the notion of the names you mentioned, you know, Nicklaus and Faldo and all of that, that one of the things that's so fascinating about the game of golf, you're kind of walking in the same footsteps that, that Arnie did and all the great players, Hogan. And that, I suppose, if you started thinking about that, that can weigh on you a little bit.
Yeah, I think if you let it, it can. Some of the folks in my group, they told me later that it did weigh on them and they didn't play very well. Like on hole number 11, I pounded one down the middle and had about an 8-iron in, and the pin was kind of middle left. And it's easy to think about Larry Mize and Greg Norman, right? And then I hit exactly the shot that you hit. I got up and set up to it and aimed a little right of the pin and then just bailed it right. It's so easy to do that with the lake on the left there. And then, yeah, my playing partner said, hey, you're in Larry Mize territory over there. And and it was like a lot of holes were like that. And so, yeah, it's really fascinating. On number 12, you know, it was a 154 8 iron. Greens were so firm, and that ball landed next to the pin and just bounced into the back bunker. And then immediately at that point, you're thinking, oh, boy, I hope I don't hit this back in the water on the next one. And so there's a lot of unique experiences out there.
Scott, I know you are as, I suppose jealous may be the right word about Mike's experience, but I think we both would admit that it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. We both, when we were talking after playing golf the other day, we're thrilled to hear that Mike was going to do this.
Oh, I'll admit that another time. I'm jealous. No, I'm so happy for you, Mike. And as I was telling you, you're the first person I truly know who's actually played the course. So this is so fascinating to me. And I have a million questions that we'll never be able to get to. But of course, the one question everybody wants to know is, what did you shoot?
Well, I played really well. So first of all, on the scorecard, there's two sets of tees on the entire property there. There's the members' tees, which are 6,365 yards that we were mandated to play. And then there's the masters' tees, which are 7,545. And by the way, there's no other tees. There's nothing shorter than 6,365 on that property.
Wow.
And so I played well. I made a few birdies at the end. I shot 70. I played some good golf. I had 4 3 putts. It's very easy to 3 putt out there. And I played well.
You played extraordinary. You were 2 under par, Mike. Come on.
Yeah. My friends all gave me a bad time that I didn't play it from 7,500 yards. And I'm quite sure that would have been a totally different experience.
If you had had the choice, would you have tried to play from back there?
You know, no, I wouldn't have. One of the things that was really fun playing the yardage that I played was that all the par fives were gettable. I could get there in 2. I was hitting a 5-wood or 4-iron at a lot of them. And that's fun, right? I mean, you want to hit that shot on 13 and you want to hit that shot on 15. And if I played way back there, I'd just be laying up on all of them. And that's a little bit boring. So, no, I think playing the tees I played made it even more fun.
Did you have eagle putts on 13 or 15?
So 13, I hit it right. The pin was back right. I had a 5-wood in from the right rough. I tried to hook it around the corner and I didn't hook it enough. And it came out, it kind of jumped out and it hit in the middle of the green and went into the back bunker. Greens were very firm that day, but yeah. I did get that one up and down. And then on 15, I had a 5-iron in. And I hit it on the front right of the green and then proceeded to 3-putt it to the left side of the green. So,
oh, my God. What was your favorite shot of the day? Was it standing there at the 12 looking at the Amen corner?
Wow. Great question. That's definitely up there. The second shot on 18 is amazing. You know, you've heard this so many times. It's so uphill on 18 and the pin was front right. And you could just barely see the flag from the fairway, and the front left bunker and the right bunker are so white and so big, and the sky was white. It was just like a whiteout, like you were at the beach and had this unbelievable glare, and you're just hitting into affinity up there. It was really, really pretty cool. And I hit a great shot. I hit a shot that landed by the pin, this front right pin, rolled up the hill, turned around and rolled back down to about 5 feet. And that was the putt the caddy told me it was straight, and I told him I was going to listen to him, and then I proceeded to push it right center, and it lipped out, so I missed the birdie putt there.
You could have had a 69 round.
Yes.
Mike, we are so excited for you. As I said earlier, couldn't happen to a nicer guy, and as always, time gets in our way. We'd love to have you back and talk a little bit more about Augusta and certainly the fact that Alistair McKenzie designed both that course and your home course at Hagen Oaks as well. This unfortunately wraps up another hour of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. For Mike Woods, Greg Almazian, and Len Dumas, and for Scott Marsh, this is Frank LaRosa. Thanks for joining us. Back next week, same time, same station.